I'm really excited today, folks. This is Mark Mitford, founder and owner of HR Catalyst Consulting. But I'm truly excited to have a professional colleague and friend that I've known. I'm not even sure, Lee, how long we've known each other, but we've known each other for at least 10, probably 15 plus years. So thank you so much, Lee, for joining today. But I'd love to start out just for our audience. I'd love to start out with just finding out a little more about you. And so why don't you tell me a little bit about you, and then we'll get into your business and then how you started your business. But really nice to find out a little bit more about just you, just a general overview of you professionally.
Sure. To me, first and foremost, I'm a dad and a husband. Like this, to me, I bring that to my work life too. So that's like the most important things in my life. We really just, our business is a personal calling for us to kind of just equip and encourage leaders. So we've been in Dallas for 30 some odd years now. Have the same lovely bride for 36 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you. She's also been my business partner for 25 years, and she's been the co-author of 8 of the books. And so we really have a partnership. I tell people she's my partner in life. And sometimes I think they know what I mean, but sometimes they might think, is he married or not? I was like, she is my wife. And she's also a partner in all aspects of my life. And that's Julie Davis Cole. And so I feel really blessed to be able to kind of share our life passion together and kind of serve in serving others. So we believe our lives are meant to give away. So we built this business around ways to be able to serve others. And it's not about getting remuneration at the end of every interaction or opportunity. I spend most of our time, honestly, they just helping people out the best I can. And if we're fortunate enough to get remunerated for some of those, that's wonderful. So that's kind of who we are.
Great. So if you can remind me one more time, so with your business, obviously you've had a successful business for a number of years. So what was the driving force behind you actually getting your business started?
Yeah. Again, it was like a personal calling for both Julie and myself back in 1999. Our whole lives had built up to this phase from when we were kids, our roles we played. So we had some leadership roles, whether it was in youth sports or in the community. And then we just always were like coaching our friends. And then we always loved learning and learning about human behavior and learning about how our brains worked. And then we got educated in the same areas. And then we got different, a master's and doctoral degrees, like advanced degrees in these areas. And then our professional lives and our leadership roles there. All of that, like as we look back, is kind of, not that I planned it in advance, trust me. But as we look back, it's like a perfectly woven tapestry of a combination of interests, experiences, and family experiences and friends and relationships, and then formal education, and then professional training around how to understand the world of a leader, how to understand their minds, but then also how to understand their work environment and the challenges they have. And then it just became a passion for us to be able to kind of equip and encourage those folks with simple how-to models. I'm a pretty simple-minded guy, so I know leaders deal with lots of complex issues around execution and engagement and coaching and their own mindset and teamwork and all that stuff. And so we try to really eliminate a lot of the noise and just kind of make it very simple to go from an intention to action. And we do that in the form of really kind of simple, straightforward, we believe, intuitive models and tools to help leaders do that.
That's a lot of information right there. So I know today we're going to get into that in just a few minutes here with you, but we're going to really focus on leadership and leadership strategy. So a big focus of today, and I know you have written several books, mm-hmm. and it'd be great to share. I know your latest book, which is out there, is around healthy leadership.
Yeah.
And it'd be really interesting because I know you just told me a couple of minutes ago, but first for our audience, if you wouldn't mind just sharing how many books you've written and then what was kind of the whole catalyst behind the creation of healthy leadership.
Sure. So we call Healthy Leadership our Sweet 16. It is our 16th book. Mm. And I never really viewed myself as an author. Just really, as you know, as you go out on your own and you have your own professional services firm, you have to present your point of view and provide some just kind of some value added for folks and some thought leadership. And I happened to write one article one time and a friend of mine said, hey, Lee, this is a great article. You ought to turn it into a book. And I'm thinking, his name was Tim Durkin. I was like, dude, Tim, like, that's 1,000 words, buddy. That's all I got, you know? And then I was finally found a publisher. I ended up being a good friend and a business author, a co-author and a mentor named David Cottrell. And he has a mid-size publishing firm. And he published these kind of thinner, what he called rapid read books, books people could actually finish. So I was able to turn it into that and then just kind of just got rolling after that. So like anything, it's a process. Once you figure it out, it's not so hard. So
right.
we try to, again, in the spirit of kind of viewing our work as almost like a ministry and to help people out, we try to take the consulting experiences we have and the models we develop for our clients and then say, hey, this really worked for them. This helped to elevate their game. How do we share that with a broader audience? So then we would take the model and generally build a book around it with examples and simple tools and stuff that we've already applied and field tested. So our books, again, are very applied, kind of application oriented. So that's really, we don't just write just to write. It's really a way to share with a broader audience some of the successes we've had with clients.
Oh, that is awesome. Good. That's so great what you just said there. So I'd really like to dive in because I know the newest book out there, number 16, is Healthy Leadership.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because you reference it right there also on the cover of it. You reference thriving in the new world of work.
Right.
And I mean, really, because it's fascinating and being an HR professional like myself too, I'm just fascinated with that. So yeah. When you think about healthy leadership and the what you're talking about there and thriving in the new way of work, I guess the key question there is, what is the new with everything that's gone on in the last several years within the work environment? What is really the new world of work as you see it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's $1 million question, right? And so the great news is there's been some great research, and we cite this research right up front in chapter one that Gallup did in about 2017, pre-pandemic, by the way, that showed that the focus and the values of the current workforce was starting to shift. So they're starting to shift from wanting a boss to really wanting a coach, right? To focusing on their weaknesses, to focusing on their strengths, to focusing on getting a paycheck, to focusing on versus the new focus was on what's the purpose? What's my purpose? What's the organization's purpose? Folk in the past, it was about their satisfaction. Now it was more about their development. So all those shifts were occurring pre-pandemic. And like any good crisis, the pandemic, you know, accelerated those trends. So now we see those in spades, like, wow, they're really evident. And so the real shift was, and the shift was more significant, Mark, in the US than it even was in Europe, in that Europe, the mentality around work was always, you know, we work to live.
Right. Right?
In the US, it was we live to work. Right. And so what we found is that in the US, we're starting to shift a little bit more toward that European mindset, a little bit more balance there. And you listen, and a lot of old baby boomers like me are thinking, oh, man, the new generation doesn't have it. I'm like, you know, who's to say our generation was the best and we had it all figured out. Right. So that's kind of the shift that's going on in this new world of work. So as a leader, some of these things we talk about in the book were like 10 years ago would really set these leaders apart and make them like superb leaders. Now, in order to be able to address these shifting needs for the worker, like it's table stakes. If you don't address those needs because of the supply and demand, the higher demand for workers, you're dead in the water. Like it's just table stakes. Like that healthy leadership becomes the kind of the magnets that's going to attract people to your organization and then the glue that's going to keep them. And by the way, if you don't employ some of these principles, if you're kind of stuck saying, I'm going to just lead the way I lead, you're just going to lose pretty quickly because now people have options. They'll just say, hey, I don't like the way this is going. I'll just go somewhere else. So it really is more of a new leadership mandate to make sure as a leader we're addressing these shifting worker needs.
Right. So what do you think? Because like you mentioned there just a second ago, Lee, that this was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
So what do you think were some of the key drivers? What are some of the key drivers that you've seen in your work that are really driving this new mandate and these new the value as people look at the value of work and not just about being a paycheck? What do you attribute some of those key drivers to now in the workforce?
Well, one of them is that kind of shifting values of the workforce. And listen, I can't explain why each generation has. It's almost like any organization has a distinct culture. So does each generation. And we have to also have to be careful not to like paint it with such a broad brush, like, oh, all millennials are like this. It's not really like that, but there are some characteristics of any generation that are true. And this generation is more purpose-driven, more socially conscious, more attuned with their sense of balance, more attuned with their sense of well-being. So all of those things combined with, very importantly, the shift in supply and demand. For the first time in my entire work life, like there's much greater demand for today's worker than there is supply. So as the employer, you just can't say, oh, this is the way we are, go find work somewhere else. Like the employees are calling the shots in a lot of ways now. Now it's leveling off a little bit, but we saw that a couple of years ago really distinctly. So I think those two things, just the generational shifts of a little bit more balance in their work and their life, and then the supply and demand has said, as employers, we can't ignore this. We can't let it pass. Like, this is the new normal. We have this whole, the millennials are the majority of the workforce now. It's only going to get more so. So unless we learn how to manage through that and with them around this, we're going to be left behind pretty quickly.
Interesting. That is just so fascinating. So one of the other things, you know, one of the other thoughts here is, for a company that contacts you, mm-hmm. or, you know, they might read the book, they contact you as the, with you and Julie as the authors of the book and the study here and the new model. How does a company go about, especially if, because I know that I see a lot of this too, that when you look at the leadership team and you look at the senior level positions, quite often, you know, maybe, I don't know, 50, 70% of the time they're with baby boomers are residing in those seats right now.
Right. That's right.
And they grew up under a totally different leadership style, leadership mandate, very much more authoritarian type of leadership. How, if they are interested in moving to something like you're espousing in healthy leadership, very almost diametrically opposed, what are your first steps in actually having that conversation with them if they come to you a little bit skeptical, because it could be 180 degree shift for them to move into something like you're actually positioning within healthy leadership principles?
First, we try to ask them, what are you trying to achieve? And in most cases, the CEO is trying to grow a business in some way, right? And so if we get them to understand that and say, if you want to grow the business, this is the only option now, right? Like, so we have to help them see, like, their old way is just not going to work with the new workforce. But the most important thing, Mark, is that, and a mentor of mine, a good friend, Ken Blanchard, would always say that ego is the biggest derailer of leadership success. So it's really important to be able to just, you have to put that ego in check and humble yourself and say, you know what? My approach, my leadership approach, my leadership values has gotten me here. But in this new world, I have to question everything and be willing to learn from the data, learn from the new worker. And if you can't do that, it's going to be a bit of a struggle. And the fact is, that rarely is the leader going to win. I'll be honest with you. It's one against many, right? So, sure. You know, we've seen several buckets here of organizations, public sector, private sector, of baby boomer leaders exiting, particularly post-pandemic. Like, okay, they realize, like, it's going to require a new way of leading, and then they have to personally change from the inside out. We always say leadership's an inside job, starts in here. And they've said, you know, it's my time to exit. And that's great. Good for them, right? Others have chosen to stay, and then there are two camps there. Others that are humbling themselves, saying, I've got to learn and how to survive in this. How do I change and grow with this new world? And then there are others that are digging their heels in. And it's a struggle for them. So we really just try to help them align on what's important to you, and are you willing to subordinate your own ego and humble yourself a little bit to make some adjustments and listen and learn how you can be successful in this new world of work.
Right. Oh, that's so fascinating, Lino. We're going to go ahead and actually just take a short break for about a minute or two, and then we're going to be coming back and continuing this really fascinating conversation with Lee.
You want to grow your business, but people issues are getting in the way. Managing the people side of your business is complex and can feel overwhelming. Does this sound familiar? At HR Catalyst, people strategy is our business. We create and implement a people strategy with you so you can get back to growing your business. HR Catalyst was founded in 2013 with the goal of bringing the best-in-class HR practices to small and middle market companies. We are your outsourced strategic people experts, We help you solve the people issues in your business that are slowing you down. If you have HR concerns, you can schedule a complimentary call on our website at hrcatalystconsulting.com.
And I know we're just touching on the surface right now. So, but it'll be great to hear, because we've heard conceptually about the model within that underpins healthy leadership. It'd be great to hear from, in your words, why don't you explain the model for our audience so they can get an idea? And then ideally too, we'll be able to put a visual up too when you explain it, to really give our audience a really good opportunity to take a look at what the model looks like itself.
Cool. Yeah, terrific. So it's fairly straightforward. There are three elements on the top. Picture a circle, three elements on the top, three elements on the bottom. And so on the top, it's the principles of healthy leadership, also known as the mindset. Consider them healthy leadership mindset. And just the mindsets of love, positivity, and growth. And before you think, oh my gosh, this guy's so soft, give me a break, love in the workforce, right? So, by the way, love is the most talked about, sung about, written about topic in the world. So why doesn't it belong in the workforce? But let me just define them each for you. So we have the mindset on the top and the skill set or the practices on the bottom. We'll talk about those in a minute. But we always say you've got to get your mind right before you can get your team right. So in order to achieve the promised outcomes of healthy leadership, we have to have these mindsets of love, positivity, and growth. So love is simply defined as doing what's in the best interest of others. That's all it is. There's a lot underneath that, but that's fundamentally what it is. It's getting yourself out of your own ego, your own needs, and figure out, how do I best serve this employee? How do I help that employee thrive? How do I understand who the human being is behind the employee? Very important underpinning of the principle of love. Second one is positivity. And again, before you think it's like, oh, Pollyanna, oh, just all smiles and bubblegum. This is really about a lot of brain science here. And I always tell people, there's no rocket science in the stuff that we put together, because it's based on human needs, but there is tons of science behind it. So we try to cite, without getting too heavy, the science behind all this. So Julie is one of only 1,300 certified practitioners in the world by the Flourishing Institute. So she understands a lot of this brain science and brings that to the table. So positivity is really managing your negative emotions and optimizing your positive emotions. Because our brain has a natural negative bias, it's understanding how our brain works to be able to manage it well and bring the best version of ourselves to the table. So, and then growth is really about how we seek new insights, learnings, and improvements for ourselves, and then ultimately for others. But those top three, if you can get those right, love, positivity, and growth, you will thrive not just in the workplace, but personally. And that's our goal. Almost all the models and the principles we put forth in any of our books, particularly this one, are really about how do you bring the best version of yourself to life in your family, in the community, and certainly into your organization. So if you get those right, you're golden. So that's the positive, the healthy leadership mindset, the principles on the top. And on the bottom, they're supported by the healthy leadership practices. We could also call it the skill set, the mindset and the skill set. And those practices are to clarify, connect, and coach. So it's clarifying your vision, your values, your expectations. It's connecting with something that's bigger than yourself. It's connecting with your team, and it's connecting to a sense of appreciation for what others are bringing to the table and their differences. And coaching is about identifying people's untapped potential and coaching to their strengths and coaching with questions. In fact, the quote I love that kind of summarizes the coaching section is from Marcus Buckingham, who wrote First Break All the Rules. And his more recent book is called Love and Work. And he said years ago, our job as leaders is not to put in what God left out, but it's to draw out what God left in. In other words, the natural gifts that people have. And we've asked literally tens of thousands of leaders over the years, tell us about the best leader you ever had. And by far the most common response is that leader that saw something in me that I didn't see myself. In other words, they saw potential in me that I didn't even know I had, and they helped me realize that. So really, we believe as a coach, that's the number one thing you need to be able to see, is see the potential and then draw it out and focus on their strengths. So interesting stat around that is that strengths-based coaching, Mark, yields a 36% improvement in performance, whereas weakness-based coaching yields a 26% decrease in performance. So that's over a 60+% spread by simply focusing on strengths instead of weaknesses. We're not being Pollyanna about it. We're not saying ignore weaknesses, but very rarely by focusing on a weakness, you're very rarely, if ever, going to turn it into a natural gift or a strength. We need to focus on weaknesses to get into a reasonably competent level, but the best return for our invested time as a leader is to identify those natural gifted areas and find ways to help that employee thrive within the organization in those areas.
Right. How fast, geez, you packed, you know, that was an hour long conversation compressed into a couple of minutes, which is so great. So do you finally is, you know, the healthy leadership principles and the model itself, is it a system? Is it a process? Is it both or something totally different than that?
Yeah, I fundamentally, and Julie and I agree on this, it's a process more than a system. It's more organic and more iterative than a system that just says go step by step by step, right? So, you know, you can start anywhere you want. We always recommend if there's one place to start at the top with the mindset, because as we said before, you got to get your mind right before you get your team right. But other than that, you know, there's an old saying, as you know, in organizational development, when you're trying to create some change, you just got to jump on the horse, whichever way it's going already. Like, so if there's already momentum somewhere, like just jump on and go with it. So if you already have some momentum and maybe your organizational values or your naturally giftedness as a leader is you're really great about growth, or you're really positive or you really demonstrate love in your workforce. Those are the kind of things, leverage those things and then work on the others. But definitely more of a process that's iterative and you learn from it and grow from it all the time, more than just a system, which to me infers like a methodical step-by-step process.
Right. Great. That's so helpful. So what are successes? So what have you found, Lee, when you've helped a company actually with implementation, what are some of the key successes that really need to happen within the first month or two to have a successful implementation in your opinion?
Yeah, I think part of it is in engaging your team around this and saying, hey, we need your help to help us grow and help the organization grow. Growing people create growing organizations. So you can't just say, okay, we're going to just figure this out. It's like it's a private endeavor, you know? So you have to be humble enough to say, we're going to work on this. We're not going to get it all right. We're moving in this direction to kind of lead this way. So to the extent that you can kind of humble yourself so that you can engage your team and have them help you grow, I think is really important. And also setting it up as a process, kind of a journey. We're not just like checking, we're going to do this workshop. We're having Lee and Julie come and do a workshop, and we call it the sheepdip approach. They're going to dunk us in and we'll be all better, right? It doesn't work like that. So, you know, taking the long view, knowing that you're going to grow along the way, and it's going to look like the stock market over the past 100 years. It's going to look up and down, 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 up and down. You know, we did some improvements, always step back, improvements, step back. But what's key is the regression line going up. That's what we want, right? And so we have to be able to focus, step back, look at the long term, knowing that we're going to be learning, improving along the way. So I don't think there's a perfect, like, we have to have this thing perfectly mapped out. It's not about that. It's really about a journey that you're growing from and learning with your team along the way.
Right. So with that too, just out of interest, so what are some of the things within implementation that you found? What are some indicators that show that it's possibly, you know, the biggest indicators that'll show perhaps the implementation is going to derail or fail? What are some of those initial warning signs or warning signals are going to be popping up there?
Yeah. First one is that people don't have the right mindset. They're thinking, if they're pointing their finger out as the leader saying, we've got to get our team to embrace this versus I've got to figure out a way to embrace this and demonstrate it, you're dead in the water, right? Because we'll always tell people, you can save a lot of money on change management consultants if you just live out the principles and the practices that you want to see, live them out. People are going to naturally model them. You don't have to have this amazingly orchestrated change management, how we push it down the organization. That just doesn't work anymore. Frankly, it never did work. Plenty of research said that really didn't create sustainable results. So It's really about getting our mind right around it. This is the vision that we have for ourselves as leaders, more than just as the business. So are people identifying with healthy leadership personally? If they're doing that, then it's going to emanate out to the business. If they're looking at it as more of an organizational initiative, this is something we need to implement, the latest, greatest flavor, probably not a great warning sign.
Mm, right. Interesting. So how about just with your experience and working through this with different clients, do you just know initially, are there any certain types of companies or industries where it is truly just going to be a little more of an uphill climb to get them 100% to be able to get them to have 100% ownership with this?
No, because humans are humans. So in every organization, whether industries, cultures, generations, it doesn't matter. Humans are human. So if the leaders embrace this, people want to feel seen and heard universally. So these principles of all the principles and practices of healthy leadership are fundamentally founded in the fact that it's a human process, right? People want to be seen and heard regardless of where they work, the kind of work that they do. So I don't think it's any easier or harder in any particular or type of organization or industry. People want to be seen and heard. So we haven't seen that. Listen, different. You have manufacturing workers, you have IT workers, very different environments, but we've seen the same kind of successes if leaders embrace the healthy leadership principles and practices in each of those settings.
Right. Oh, that's great. So last couple of questions here as we get ready to wrap up with you. But I could talk to you for another couple of hours on this. It's so fascinating. But so why would you say, what are, if you're talking to you're talking to an interesting company about this, you're talking to a leader about this, what are the top reasons? And they seem like they're really hesitant to put a toe in the water or jump in entirely. What are the top three reasons you would say you've got to get, you need to get started today and not kind of worry about it too much? If they've been dangling, they've been dancing with you for a couple of months now, what would you say are the top three reasons why they just need to go ahead and get started?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, if you invest in your leaders and you create not just a great place to work, but a great place to grow, right? First of all, you're going to start seeing improvements in your recruiting capabilities and then also in your retention. So I don't know about you, but every one of our clients, it's their number one issue. How do we attract and retain talent, right? So if you want to be able to do that, you're going to see direct benefits to that. Those are two huge things for organizations, particularly in maybe smaller middle market organizations. We would say that this is going to enable you to work on your business versus in your business, because you're going to be building the next generation of leaders and have more of that capability. The other thing is for these, maybe some of these smaller mid-sized companies, is that this really creates more value for your organization, because it shows that you have a sustainable organization and increases the value and investor interest. If it's more than just you running the show and that's it, right? So a lot of times people like, I'm at the point where I might want to be considering selling the business or getting other investors. They want to know that there's a bench there that can do this. But regardless of where you are in terms of size, I don't care if it's small, mid-market, or Fortune 500, the number one benefit is that you're going to significantly increase your ability, the magnetism with which people are going to be drawn to your organization when they see you trying to apply healthy leadership principles, and you're going to have that glue that's going to actually keep them there and help retain them. Two huge things for any business, and has direct financial impact.
That's great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was really a great response there. So this has been very insightfully, to say the least. So any final thoughts you want to share with the audience before we have a couple of little kind of rapid fire fun things with you to get to know you a little bit better, but any final thoughts regarding healthy leadership and just some golden nuggets you wanted to leave with our audience today?
I would just say, again, leadership's an inside job. It starts from the inside out. So you really have to kind of get your heart right and your mind right first. Right. And so that's most importantly. And then from the employee perspective, again, I've said it a few times already, but bears repeating, people want to be seen and heard. So as a leader, you have to be willing and naturally interested in understanding who the human being is behind the employee and connect with them at that level. Very selfishly, you're going to get more discretionary effort from someone that really feels that you really want to know and see them. So those are like the fundamental things that kind of undergird healthy leadership.
Great. No, that's really, really good. Thank you. And again, thank you so much. We're actually going to, we always try to finish up our podcast with a couple of little fun things for you, Lee. So I'm just going to wrap up with that, but appreciate your insight so much. But I wanted to find out, because it's fascinating, and it's like, so kind of getting inside you as a person, but what are three books you'd recommend to our audience, and why would you recommend those three different books? And if you want to choose a couple that you've helped author with your wife, Julie, feel free to do so.
Well, let me start with one that's just related to what we're talking about. It's called Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute. And I just think that's really powerful, because whether it's in business or really just personally, it really shows how our mind works, how our kind of filters work in our mind to protect our own ego. And it's really powerful to understand that and gain that self-awareness. I think it's huge and goes a long way to have more functional relationships at home and certainly at the workplace. So Leadership and Self-Deception. Another one that's a classic that, again, these are focused on like the personal side, but also I think the best books get to like simple truths, and simple truths are timely and timeless. So this is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, an old classic, but it's about how can you be personally more effective? Again, that's a great example to set for people so that they can kind of see that as a model, and then that emanates out through your organization. And the last one, I'll be self-serving, just because I think it's very pragmatic in today's workforce, and understanding how you can thrive in today's workforce would be healthy leadership. And again, not just because it's a leadership book. I think that if you apply these really simple principles and the tools we put in there, you can really help all of your relationships thrive in the community and your family, and then certainly in the workplace.
That's great. So question number two for you is, so what are two podcasts that you're currently listening to that you'd recommend for our audience?
Sure. One is called The Hidden Brain, which is really cool. It's really about how our brain works and how just really interesting stuff. I can't even describe it, but it's really just understanding the inner workings of the brain and how that manifests in different biases and decision processes that we have. So I really love that one. And then also the TED Radio Hour does a great job of curating different TED Talks under themes. So like it could be one theme I remember was how things spread. It could be how ideas spread, how diseases spread, how other things spread. But like they kind of take what looks like disparate topics and create kind of a common theme around it, and then pull in different snippets from the various TED Talks. Really, it's kind of very stimulating. I like that one.
Great. Wow. So that is so great. So, and lastly, this is kind of a little bit of an introspective question for you, but what advice would you give to your 16-year-old self today?
Yeah, I would say just to keep the faith, everything will work out, right? It doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth sailing, right? Or easy in life. No one's ever promised that. But I think sometimes we just sweat the small stuff a lot when we talk about, oh my God, what college am I going to do? Like every decision when you're younger feels like it's the biggest decision of your life, appropriately so. But if I could rewind it, I would just say, make the best decision at the time and trust yourself that you're going to kind of be able to thrive in whatever that situation is.
That's great. So, and the last thing I want to ask you, so how can they find you online? How can they connect with you to find out more about the some of the things the thought leadership you have and the books you've written and things like that?
Lots of free resources and stuff out at leadershipexperts.com. We have blogs and self-assessments and manifestos and just lots of tools out there. Again, our mission is to help equip and encourage leaders. So they could go out there. We have a newsletter that there's no selling involved. They could sign up for where, they'll get just some practical tips and tools they could share with their teams, uplift their own personal life and maybe their business life. So they can go to leadershipexperts.com.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much, Lee. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
This has really been, I was excited to have you today as a guest. So
I was excited to be here. I appreciate you, bud.
Awesome. So already great. Have a blessed evening and we'll talk soon. Thanks so much, Lee.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.